Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Moses is going to go in and be a deliverer. He says, who should I tell them sent me? Tell them I am. Tell them I am that I am has sent you. So Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am what? I am. I am that I am. I'm that I am. So they are upset now. But it's truth. Jesus isn't making things up. He's not wacky. He's sharing the truth. Here's who I am. This is why you can believe my words. This is why you should trust in my words and receive eternal life.
You beat around the bush, or do you tell the truth bluntly? Do you try to soften the impact of your words, or do you let them drop full force onto the recipient? Today, Pastor Troy shows us an example of Jesus speaking directly and bluntly to the Pharisees. He doesn't leave his words open to interpretation. He makes a direct claim to his deity. Jesus is either a liar or the Savior he claims to be. The Pharisees decided he was a liar, so they planned to stone Jesus. What will your response be? Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. She had two strikes against her. And she asked Jesus when he came through, why do you, a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is amazing that you're even having this conversation with me, was what she was saying. One, I'm a female. Men aren't usually talking to the women alone. But then I am a Samaritan. You're a Jew. That just does not happen. So the Jews saw the Samaritans as religious frauds. The Samaritans had their own rival temple where they worshipped at Mount Gerizim. They offered their own sacrifices. They were a picture of the Jews, really, almost like an imitation, and the Jews hated it. And the Jews wanted no part of them. They had their own teachings, which conflicted with the teachings taught in Jerusalem. And then consider Jesus now. They call him a Samaritan. You're a Samaritan. Well, he did not make every effort to avoid going through Samaria, did he? In fact, he went through Samaria. No self-respecting, godly Jew would do that. But Jesus did that. Not only that, but he stopped and ministered there, like being helpful. Compassion, cared for them, ministered. And then if that weren't low enough, do you remember he told a parable of the good Samaritan? And that's blasphemous to the Jewish mind. There is no good Samaritan. And then not only in the parable was there a good Samaritan, but they were the bad guys. So Jesus is like a Samaritan sympathizer. He's a religious fraud. He's on their side. He wouldn't know the truth if it hit him in the face. That's what they're saying about Jesus. That's their perspective, and they resorted to the name-calling in order to call Jesus a fraud and an imposter. Also, they say that he has a demon. So, and he has a demon. We're right about this, because there were some miraculous activities taking place in Jesus' ministry. And so, to explain that, they say he's a fraud, he's a fake, and it's demonic activity, it's demonic help that he's getting. Yeah, there's no denying it's not supernatural, but it's not God. So they're calling him out as a fraud, an evil imposter. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered, verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. So he's sharing some truth. Instead of getting stuck in defensive mode, they're getting all petty and name-calling with Jesus. He navigates towards what is true. He shares the truth with them. They say he's got a demon, that he's dishonoring the Father, but Jesus says that's not true at all. I'm honoring the Father. In fact, the opposite is true. You are dishonoring the Father because you dishonor me, and I carry his words. The truth. That's good argument. Good argument with some emotion. It's not fighting because he's laying out the truth. He's not name calling. He's not slinging things. He's not bringing up. He is just saying, here is the truth of the situation that you have brought up. You know, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And how quick some are to turn to harsh words. Getting defensive or something, like if being wrong is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Being caught is the worst thing that's ever, and then you go right after somebody. Chill out, you're wrong. Chill out, you were caught. Or chill out, it's a mistake. But chill out. You don't have to get so violently abrasive. Let the facts come out. Learn to be a good arguer, but let argument lead to truth, because I hope that's what we all want. Isn't it foolish for the world to want anything but truth? I mean, it may not agree with you, but it's really nice to know that even though I don't want a bomb in the building, if there is one, it's good to know so I can get out. Like you could say, there's a bomb in the building. Well, that offends me. That offends me. I was just starting to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care about a bomb in the building. But the same thing happens with the world and the end. There's a time coming, a judgment coming. Well, I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm not a bad person. No one's saying you're a bad person. And if you're saying they're bad people, that's not our argument. Your argument isn't that they're a bad person. There's great people out there better than you who are going to hell. So our argument, we have nothing to stand on if we're calling them bad people. That's what God says. We can say this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care how good, bad, or indifferent you are, there is one way, and that is it. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you can be as good as you want to be, but you will not go to heaven. That's the truth, and that can be said in love without calling names and everything else. So we've been given all we need to argue well in the scriptures and in truth. Truth and love. Truth can be given with love, but defending yourself can never really be given in love because we switch modes. We get defensive. We get aggressive. And we've got to be very careful. It's the soft answer that turns away wrath or avoids the fighting, the escalation. Instead of digging up dirt and fighting, bring out the facts. Bring out the truth. And don't turn things either. So they say, hey, we caught you. You weren't where you said you were going to be. Instead of going, well, you've done it. The argument about you is still true. But all you've done is turned and brought up another argument. You think it's easy to end something when you're adding to it? No. But now, have you ever been in a fight? Argument, which you know now is a fight? Have you ever been in one of those? And after about 15 minutes, you don't even know what this was all about in the first place? How did this even start? Because you're not on point. You've been fighting, not arguing. Because a good argument stays on point. It deals with the subject at hand. And that's what Jesus does. He not only deflects their words, but instead of jumping in and fighting with them, he offers the path of reconciliation. He says, look, not only are my words not honoring to the Lord, but if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Here's the path to life, guys. They could have taken it. So while they're fighting, Jesus is still focused on offering life, truth. Jesus is no imposter. He's no evil imposter. He's the only real deal. He's the one who offers and gives true life. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So from their perspective, Jesus is an evil imposter and should be done away with and not believed, but not from heaven's perspective. And look at verse 52. "Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets? And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word.'" The second perspective of Jesus here is that he's an incapable promiser now, making promises he can't keep. They see him as someone who is writing bigger checks than he can really pay, or cash. Not die? Not die? That can't be true. They see him as a politician right now, saying things in the moment just to get votes, but he's not going to follow through with them. Jesus said, if people keep his word, which, by the way, that word comes from the Father. He honors his Father. If they keep his word, then they will never taste death. So they go, aha, you're wrong. So here we have you. And the reason they think that he's wrong is because Abraham belongs to God. He's the father of faith. He believed God. He was known for believing God. And the prophets also, by the way, the prophets were the ones who heard the voice of God. They heard, they believed, they shared it. So they give these two pieces of evidence against Jesus, they think. Abraham and the prophets, they believed, they're dead. What do you got to say about that, Mr. Jesus, Mr. Evil Imposter? Incapable promiser, you can't deliver on that one because they're dead. We've already got evidence. We've already said that the entire Gospel of John is written to clearly give the right perspective about Jesus, right? That he is the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, right here. And he could be seen, touched, observed. What would God do? What would God say? How would God deal with this? What does it look like? They could see. And that's what John is showing us here in this flaw in their thinking and this truth from Jesus' perspective.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Jesus says to them, I'm not lifting or honoring myself. I'm not doing this to lift myself. This isn't about me. The Father got all that taken care of. It's the Father who sent me. And he says, and if I did say I don't know him, then I would be a liar just like you are right now. So he says, I do know him and I keep his word. In other words, what I'm saying, you can take to the bank. My promises are true. But see, to understand his promises, you need heaven's perspective. See, they're looking from the view of the earth. They're dead. They're physically dead. But Jesus talks and lives on a higher plane than that. You know, can you imagine us saying, boy, I sure liked it in the womb better. The womb was warmer. I had my own umbilical cord. That was my umbilical cord. They took my umbilical cord away from me. I'm angry. And I liked it in the womb. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to leave the womb. Can you imagine that? Well, that's where they're at right now. This world is like a womb, a 70, 80, 90 year womb that leads, gives birth into eternity. And it's like we're happy with the little umbilical cords and the little things here in this world that are only good here in this world. We don't need the umbilical cord anymore, right? We don't need it. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's so important to us here, valuable. Yes, money has value here, but not in heaven. No sense to store it. You're not taking it with you. Use it for his glory. Okay, you've given it to me. What do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do with it? As long as I live, as long as I stay alive, as long as I have your purpose, then I am going to be rich and blessed. So what do you want, Lord? And you know what's amazing? I've heard individuals who have the gift of giving and trust the Lord with all of their heart. They trust, they pay for scholarships, you know, Bible teaching scholarships and everything else, and they're just giving. And it's like they go, man, I shovel it out, and it's like God just keeps shoveling it in faster. I think, well, I wish I had that problem. And that's why you don't. Because you wouldn't shovel it out, you'd shovel it right over here. And over here, this is what I want. And here, Mr. Poor Man, with, there you go. Don't spend that all in one place. That's a, oh, was that a five? I meant to give you a one. Give me that. So, I'm getting older. I'm losing my sight here. You don't need more. So that's why we don't necessarily get blessed in that way. But I guarantee you this, if we do everything that God wants us to do with what he's given, we'll never run out of the resources we need to do it. Never. Scripture promises us that we will have everything we need for every good work. We just got to be busy about his work, because that's what he provides for. And he provides abundantly. We'll never run out. And it may not be that someone comes and gives you a dollar or $10. It may be that you just go to sleep that night and get that night of sleep you've been praying for years. But God blesses. God honors. You can put all of your hope and your trust in his promises, in his word. But we've got to understand and have the right perspective. It's an eternal perspective that we're to have. Our treasures are to be stored in heaven, not here. So when he speaks of salvation, you can take that to the bank, trusting in him. When it speaks of life after death, you can plan that's going to happen. His return, it's going to happen, even though we're waiting. Eternity, we're going to be there one day. And even a life better here. It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be rich, healthy, wealthy, wise. Everything will be healed and you'll be perfect in this life. Because sin has its effect. And we all experience it. Every one of us. But what it does mean is, despite some of our challenges, despite some of the things that hold us back or cause us grief or pain or that thorn in the flesh, despite those things, we can have purpose in this life and joy and fulfillment as a result. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what you go through, what you've been through, God can take it and use it for his glory and to give you a sense of value and purpose if we would just get heaven's perspective. So Jesus explains that he's capable, a capable promiser. But because of the perspective that they're coming from, the worldly perspective, some of his simple words to them ruffle their feathers and two worlds collide. Two perspectives collide. Never good. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jew said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we've seen two perspectives that were worldly, but John gives us the right perspective, and that is, he is the eternal creator. The eternal creator, God. Oh, he's worthy of listening to. And his promises you can take to the bank. Up to this point, Jesus has been throwing little truth grenades, if you will. Little, I am honoring the Father, boom. You know, hey, you're not honoring the Father by not honoring me, boom. But now he drops a truth bomb. And that is, not only am I honoring my Father, who you call God, I'm God. And that's why they're angry and they go to pick up stones, because that's blasphemy if it's not true. They keep pointing to Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, we're related to Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And so Jesus goes, okay, I'll go there with you. From my perspective, from the eternal perspective, the right perspective, they saw Abraham as being superior. And how can he compete? Man, Abraham's gone. He's the father of faith. How are you going to compete with that? Well, Jesus shows them how he can compete with that. Because he takes them all the way back and says, Abraham, your father, he longed to see my day, the promises fulfilled. And he saw it and was glad. They get angry. They say, you're not even fit. How can you can't talk about Abraham like that. And that's where Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, they pick up stones because they know Jesus is claiming to be God. Because that was a phrase right there that God told Moses to tell the children of Israel. Moses is going to go in and be a deliverer. He says, who should I tell them sent me? Tell them I am. Tell them I am that I am has sent you. So Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am what? I am. I am that I am. I'm that I am. So they are upset now. But it's truth. Jesus isn't making things up. He's not wacky. He's sharing the truth. Here's who I am. This is why you can believe my words. This is why you should trust in my words and receive eternal life. But from their perspective, they couldn't get over their perspective. It's a direct claim to deity by Jesus. And they pick up stones as a result. If you ever come across a church or anyone says, yeah, come to our church, and they say that Jesus never claimed to be God, or Jesus is not God, or Jesus is not equal to God, that is a false religion. I wouldn't trust anything that they have to say after that, because that's a perspective you need to filter God's word through, because Jesus made the claim. John makes the claim on Jesus' behalf in his gospel. Even God himself makes the claim if you consider his words in Isaiah. By the way, Jesus, when he claimed it, that is God. So God himself made that claim. But let me go to the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, verse 11. God said this to his people, Israel. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. So God told that to his people before Jesus was here, walking, becoming the what? Savior. And so when God in the Old Testament says, I am your God, I'm your deliverer, and besides me, you have no Savior. There is no Savior. There is no existing Savior. There will be no Savior. There is no Savior. So Jesus either has to be a liar when he claims to be any kind of a Messiah or Savior, or he is that God. And you can't have a different perspective on who Jesus is, because Jesus claimed it. God said there couldn't be another Savior.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.